So good morning, everybody. Thank you for inviting us to come and join you here. And thank you for supporting us in our mission. We're hopefully going to enlighten you a little bit about what we've been up to in the last year. So we're Steve, Katrina, Rachel, and Hannah Bennett, and we have been accepting the challenge to work with CMS for the last 4 years. And CMS sent us to rural Rwanda to a hospital called Gahini Hospital. Next slide, please. Now, we have spoken here a few times, so I'm sure some of you are familiar with this slide that shows you where Gahini Hospital is, and the picture at the bottom shows you how far that is from the UK. We are extremely fortunate that when we travel there, we don't cross masses of time zones, so the kids don't have to readjust their body clocks too much. But we were living and working in the Eastern Province, where the big blue arrow is. And that's quite rural. It's sort of 2 hours from the major capital city, and it's sort of 35 minutes from the nearest post town. So quite a rural setting is where we've been. That's a picture of Steve and myself in front of the old hospital building. And if for those of you with incredibly good eyesight, you might see that it says 1927 underneath the writing. So Gahini Hospital was an established mission station with health facilities, education facilities, and a church, and that happened in 1927. Obviously, that photo wasn't taken in 1927.
Yep, so we managed to get back to Gahini last September. I think maybe some of you have seen a video update from us last summer when we were back in the UK and then had some difficulty getting back. But we managed to get back in September and negotiate the travel restrictions and everything like that. And we thought, given everything that was going on, Rwanda's been relatively spared problems with COVID, but not exclusively or not completely. So we expected that things would be relatively quiet for us going back. Boy, could we not be more wrong. One of the main features of Rwanda life during COVID was that they restricted travel between different parts of the country at different times. And when I say restricted, there were police checkpoints. You had to have official permission, which was quite difficult to get in order to cross for specific purposes. So what we found was that doing surgery for myself and anaesthetics for Katrina, next slide there. We were actually busier than usual because none of the people from our district or from actually the surrounding districts could get to the main hospitals in the capital in the center of Rwanda. And so they knew that there was a surgeon at our hospital and they seemed to all come to our hospital for their care. At various times through this year, it's all been rather busy. And to give you an example, if I'm working in the NHS here, I probably see about 15 patients in a morning clinic of outpatient clinic. In Rwanda, most weeks in my morning clinic, I was seeing over 50 patients, all of whom were new, and most of whom, or many of whom, needed operations. So I was doing somewhere in the region of 100 or more operations every month for the last, certainly the last few months before we came back from Rwanda. There's really quite a definite need. Next picture there, please. Picture on the left, one left. Picture on the left there is our outpatient department, and in Rwanda, everyone has to wear masks all of the time when they're outside, but it doesn't really translate into so much social distancing as you can maybe think. But the sort of patient that we felt most gratified that we're able to help is someone like this wee little boy on the right-hand side of your screen there that you can see. He's 18 months old. He arrived one Saturday night to our hospital in reasonably bad state. He had I will not go into the details. He had a significant abdominal and bowel problem that needed sorted out pretty much immediately. We were fortunate on this Saturday night that we had a visitor staying with us who could look after our children or be in the house with our children. And Katrina and I were able to take this wee boy within sort of half an hour, certainly within the hour, to our operating theater, do a fairly major operation on his abdomen, sort out his bowel problem. And this is him 3 days later, just waiting to go home. Now, I mention him because this is someone who, if we hadn't been at Gahini, there would have been no surgeon, there would have been no anaesthetist. He would have had to go to Kigali, to the capital, which is a couple of hours away. It's unlikely the family would have been able to afford the ambulance to take him there. If he had got there, they would have had to join the queue in the emergency department, join the queue to wait for the surgeon to see him, and then when an operation was needed, join the queue to wait for an operation, which might have been 24, 48 hours, and in his case, would almost certainly have been too late for him to survive. But by being at Gahini, we were able to see him, assess him, get him straight to the operation he needed, and get him the care he needed very quickly. And as I said, he walked home 3 or 4 days later. So a personal example of one patient whose story is representative of many who were able to get help when they wouldn't have been able to go help elsewhere. The next slide there, please. The other thing that I've been personally involved in over the last year has been a bit more teaching and training, and the opportunities have kept coming. This is something that we were quite passionate about going out to Rwanda. We didn't want to give the proverbial fish to people. We wanted to give them a fishing rod and teach them how to use it. And teaching and training is very much something that we were very interested in. Picture on the left here is a basic surgical skills course that I've run with one of the Edinburgh Royal College of Surgeons for the last few years, but they weren't able to come and help us this last year because of travel restrictions. So we ran a Rwandan course with an entirely Rwandan faculty, and we were able to teach all of the new surgical trainees in the country the basic skills that they would need to go back to their hospitals to learn further. And we were blessed with both students being sent from the capital to come and work in surgery with myself, and also interns for the first time in the hospital's history. This is a brand new doctors coming to work in the hospital under the supervision of the more senior doctors. And at that stage, I was one of the only senior doctors there. We were the only senior doctors there. But as Katrina might say later on, that has changed over the last year as well. Next slide, please. Katrina, you were doing some teaching and training too.
Yes. So as well as Steve doing surgical training, for a long time, I'd hoped to get some anaesthesia students. I wasn't too bothered whether I got physician students or non-physician students, but as Steve has mentioned, we have a real passion for teaching and training, and the case numbers at Gahini were just crazy, and the opportunity to do paediatrics was there, and we had some interest from the doctors, but in the end, the non-physicians beat them to it. So in September last year, they sent me 3 students, and then in October, they sent me 2 more students, so we had 5 students buzzing around the place, and then they switched them around. And it was just a brilliant opportunity to show the students who were either in their penultimate year or their final year the opportunity to do lots of paediatrics, some quite complex surgeries, and to talk a lot about how you do operating in an environment where you don't have a high dependency unit, you don't have an intensive care unit, sometimes getting blood products is difficult, lab tests are often missing. So it was lovely to be able to share my experience with them, but also to learn from them, because as many of you who've taught in various different environments will know, students keep you on your toes. So it was good to have them ask me what I was doing and why I was doing it. Alongside teaching the students, Steve has mentioned that he was busy. Well, so were the orthopaedic surgeons. So we'd had this brand new orthopaedic facility open in April 2019. And now, somehow over the last 8 months, we've become the referral centre for the Eastern Province for orthopaedics. So we were absolutely swimming in orthopaedic patients as well as swimming in general surgical patients. And as the only physician-trained anaesthetist there, that meant that I was busy helping out my orthopaedic colleagues as well. Dr. Angelique fortunately arrived. This was an amazing blessing. She is a physician anaesthetist as well, and she's Rwandan trained. She finished her training in Kigali, and she came to join the team in early January, and that really helped me out because that meant that she could be in theatre and I could be teaching the students or giving help to other hospitals in the area, all of which I was getting asked to do, but because of the sheer volume of patients, it was quite difficult to do that throughout the autumn. I don't have a great photo of Dr. Angelique, but I hope you can see the blue arrow points her out in that group shot. Next slide, please. So this was the other thing that I went on to do once Dr. Angelique had joined the team, was that, as you can imagine, when equipment gets sent out to the developing world, if you're lucky, it works for the first few years. Sadly, some stuff arrives and is already broken due to the rough roads or the dust levels. And when you have stuff that breaks, it's not always easy to get replacement parts. Certainly, it may not be easy to get them in country. And if you've never come across a problem like this before and you don't really understand how your equipment works, although it's essential for your job, you might not know how to start going about investigating whether it can be fixed and if there's somewhere in country to do it. And because we'd been at Gehini for 4 years, and during that time I'd been on the team that had set up the orthopaedic theatre, I'd had quite a lot of experience of what was available in country, what was available out of country, how you got hold of small pieces, big pieces, new pieces, and refurbished pieces. So I got an invitation from a couple of hospitals, one in Kigali, one more local to Gehini. Can you come and help us? Our anaesthetic machine is broken and now we can't operate. So these are some photos that I took from the hospital in Kigali as I was helping them to work through their three broken anaesthetic machines, all broken in different ways, and how we might fix or replace these machines. So it was quite an interesting and different challenge. And if Dr. Angelique hadn't been there, I wouldn't have been able to go and help these other centres. But by having the opportunity, then it was lovely to meet their anaesthetists, see what they were doing, and also to encourage them in their work too.
So in addition to all of that clinical work and teaching and training work, we also, along the way, were developing the hospital as well. And the next slide there hopefully shows you some of our successful projects over the last few years. The top left photograph is our new maternity building. So that was bought and paid for by the government in Rwanda, but opened over the last 2 or 3 years. The photo in the top right is the paediatric ward, which we had a very kind donation from the Lent appeal of the Deanery of Diocese of Lyndhurst in the south of England, who kindly funded our refurbishment of the paediatric ward. And the same charity that built an orthopaedic centre built a rehabilitation centre or refurbished that as well, and that's the picture at the bottom. The next slide there, please. And then within the hospital, some other things that we were able to do. Picture on the top left, we got a surgical higher dependency unit with monitoring facilities so that sicker patients were able to be looked after more safely, and in addition to refurbishing a surgical ward help prevent infection. We improved our general surgery theatres and got some recovery trolleys for patients to recover on rather than lying them on the floor or just on the operating table until they recover from their anaesthetic. And some minor things that you might not think important coming from this country, but if you've got broken or mud paths between buildings, it's quite difficult to get patients and staff between different buildings in your hospital, especially in the wet season. So we managed to create more walkways and covered walkways to enable the hospital to keep moving and keep working when it was going. The other thing, with the increase in orthopaedic patients, another donation converted an old building into a second orthopaedic ward. So the hospital's really been quite expanding from that point of view, and we're very pleased that we're leaving it in a much better condition to face the future than it was like when we arrived. Do you want to say something about the orthopaedic bit?
Yeah.
And staff?
Yeah. So what we found, can you, next slide please, is that when God starts to bless a project, he sort of goes a bit bananas and really blesses the project. And all of a sudden, not only were we getting generous donations and charities becoming interested in refurbishing buildings, but the Ministry of Health was starting to get word that this place at Gehini now had facilities and instruments for operating. And so they started sending us staff. So this is the first two orthopaedic surgeons that we received at Gehini, and one of them has actually left now, but he has also been replaced by the ministry. So we still have two full-time orthopaedic surgeons. We still have Dr. Senyumba, who was the sole person who was coming to Gehini once a week before we arrived. And then in addition to this, we've had Dr. Angelique, who's a trained specialist in anaesthesia, join the team. Dr. Richard is a trained paediatrician. We have a gynaecologist working part-time at the hospital. And so we went from a hospital that when we arrived had 8 fairly junior doctors working largely unsupervised to suddenly a centre which, you know, and 2 small operating theatres. We had 7 operating theatres and all these specialists, not only within the field of surgery, but also elsewhere, being given to us by the Ministry of Health and saying, go and work at Gehini. There's plenty to be doing there. So God has blessed the project in abundance, and now it really is a sort of buzzing centre from many points of view. And it will be interesting to see what happens, because this is way ahead of the government's plan. The government did have a plan that by 2030, they might have 3 or 4 specialists at Gehini Hospital, and that would be a national plan for all hospitals of Gehini size. But it's kind of massively exceeded that. And so the bishop feels very enthused that the government might now start to elevate Gahini up in its status and enable patients to seek care there rather than having to go to larger centres in Kigali, which would be absolutely excellent for the patients themselves as well as the staff who are working there. Right, next slide, please.
So we feel that Gahini has really developed. One of our disappointments over the last year has been that there hasn't been so much opportunity for direct Christian witness. The hospital is known as a former mission hospital, although it's part of the government system now. And all of these developments, we hope, will enable people from the whole of the side of Rwanda that we're in to know that they can come to Gahini, they can get good medical care, and it's a centre that has been blessed because it's a Christian centre as a hospital. Our more direct witness had been within the English service of the cathedral, where I was one of the co-pastors and led and preached regularly there. That hadn't met over the last year due to restrictions on churches in Rwanda. The cathedral was allowed to reopen, but due to capacity issues, they had to have reduced sizes of services. But also, the other local churches roundabout had often not been allowed to reopen at all. So the cathedral was having three or four services a day for people from the wider area who were able to come and travel because they could offer services. But we were never able to restart the English service, which had about 500 or 600 local teenagers from the local secondary school attending previously. That's one of our slight disappointments over the last year, but I think probably we were too busy doing everything else to be able to get right on top of that side of things, had it been possible anyway. So I think probably...
Yeah, all that really remains to say is thank you and thank you in abundance. We are so grateful for those of you who've given money, but also for those of you who've prayed. The one thing I've just realised that we've completely forgot to mention is that just as we had finished working at Gahini, we were like within days of leaving the site, Dr. Martin, a specialist surgeon, arrived to take over from where Steve had left off. And we know that that wouldn't have happened but for all the people who've been praying for us as we've been doing our mission, because that was a really big prayer point on our newsletter. So we are hugely grateful for you in journeying with us, and big thanks. And then finally, the last slide that I'd just like to bring up is CMS obviously have asked us to mention that if this mission has been a blessing to you too and you are interested in supporting any further mission partners, then they'd be delighted to hear from you.
So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you both. Just what are you doing now that you've come back to Scotland? Where are you? What are you up to?
Well, we're back in our house in Rosyth. We were both working in NHS Fife before we went out. I've been on a career break for 5 years, so I'm actually still employed and will be going back to work as a surgeon in Kirkcaldy and Dunfermline from the beginning of November. We're taking a couple of months to recharge our batteries and get ourselves settled back into what is now a foreign country to us in all sorts of ways. So we're getting there slowly. By November I'll be back working. And Katrina's going to take a little while before deciding whether she's going to go back next year, probably, once we've got the children settled and worked out what restrictions there are and what ways we have of childcare to allow that to happen,
which
is all quite confusing.
Well, it's been a joy and a privilege to partner with you in the way that the Lord has led you. We thank you so much for your service. We want to do two things. We want to give you a gift as by way of just saying thank you and just as a blessing to you. And we want to pray a blessing on you for the next stage of your life together. And these words come from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And the Lord be with all of you. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.